Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning. I would like for you to listen to a message I brought several weeks back on a Sunday morning.
The provocation, in the provocation, and it's an important event in the scriptures. An event that takes place here that is so provocative. What do I mean provocative? It is so thought-provoking, something that stirs our inner being, that needs to make us stop and think about our conduct, about our behavior. So fundamental to our faith that the Lord used it as a stern teaching, pointing out several times this event throughout the scriptures. It is also called the day of temptation. What is provocation? Well, that's where you get the word provocative, provoking. It's something that's provoking. Provocation, provoke. It's a derivation of the word provoke. Action or speech that makes someone annoyed or angry, especially deliberately. The act of provoking. An action that is intended to cause a reaction. especially anger or annoyance. Anything that excites anger, the cause of resentment. In 1 Kings 15:30, we have a verse that just a passage talking about Jeroboam. Because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned and which he made Israel sin, by his provocation wherewith he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. So it's a provoking, it's a provocation, provoking the Lord. And the Lord says multiple times, take heed, God's people, both New Testament and Old Testament, take heed about provoking me to anger. Now, in your notes there, Roman numeral 1, redemption has two parts, out and in, out and in. The scriptures tell us in Deuteronomy 6:23, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. Okay, so there's two parts. Scofield, in his Scofield Bible, in the notes in the introduction to the book of Joshua. Now, some of the notes we agree with in Scofield's notes, and some we don't. When Dr. Dixon was preaching here, he pointed out that because of Scofield, he thought there was a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven because of Scofield. And he has learned since learned that the even though they have different names, they're one and the same thing, the kingdom, the coming millennial kingdom. And he was, and many preachers have been set astray by some of Scofield's notes. So we have to be very careful about commentaries and notes in commentaries. But I tend to agree with what Scofield is saying here on this particular point. Joshua records the consummation of the redemption of Israel out of Egypt. For redemption has two parts, out and in. And he quotes Deuteronomy 6:23. He brought us out from thence, that's Egypt, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware to our fathers. God used Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, and he used Joshua 40 years later to lead Israel into the land of Canaan. Now we're going to learn why there was a 40-year gap. Note the parallel here with Abraham. In Abraham, when God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. So called, he was called to go out of the land of his fathers. Terah was his father, into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. So he went out from his old country and came into the land of promise, the land of inheritance. Obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise. So you have out and in multiple times in this short passage. And as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So spiritually speaking, Egypt is symbolic of the world. When you go through the scriptures, something you need, it's the land. Egypt is also known as the land of Ham. But Egypt is symbolic of the world. In the whole King James Bible dispute, And the other versions, the perverted versions that are the perverted versions come from an Alexandria text. Where was Alexandria? Egypt. And the text was perverted in Egypt. The King James comes from what they call the Textus Receptus, which came through Antioch and came through Asia Minor, and that was preserved. But anything that comes through Egypt or comes out of Egypt is corrupted, except if God, of course, God took his own people. But we'll see how corrupted they were in their thinking that affected them, that caused this provocation. So spiritually speaking, Egypt is symbolic of the world. This is an important biblical principle to understand. In the full scope of our Christian life, God first saves us out of the world, or Egypt, that we will not receive the world's eternal damnation. But then we enter a walk through a wilderness of spiritual darkness, per se, to then ultimately be led into the future promised land, which is the millennial kingdom of God. You are, in your spiritual walk, walking through the wilderness of Sinai. The wilderness of Sinai, just like the Israelites, even though this isn't physically Sinai, we could almost say we're walking through Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not too far from the truth. But we are walking in the wilderness. However, this promised land for the Christian believer is subject to our obedience in our walk, just as entrance into Canaan land was subject to the obedience of the Israelites' walk in the wilderness. This parallel is the scope of this message and the scope of the New Testament admonishments by Christ and the apostles to the Christian believers for the last 2,000 years. Now, Kadesh Barnea, Doug, if you could throw that image up there. Kadesh Barnea is a region of the Sinai Peninsula, just south of the land of Canaan and the Dead Sea, where God led Israel in preparation of entering the Promised Land. It was at this point that Israel pushed their rebellion and murmuring against God to the point of no return. This was a significant turning point for the generation of Israelites that were led out of Egypt, but it was also a significant event to herald every preceding generation not to follow in their footsteps. Now, in this diagram here, you have Egypt right here, and where they started from, where they came out of, Egypt, is dry land. The Red Sea only goes up to this point. Man has since built the Suez Canal from here to the Mediterranean Sea. But this was solid land, with some, maybe some lakes here and there, but they can walk across solid land here. And we're all going to miss Dan Kniff, those of you who knew Dan Kniff, and he's the one who really gave me and led me in the direction of the Caldwells, who had identified where the real Mount Sinai is, and it's real wilderness, and it's in Saudi Arabia, not in the Sinai Peninsula. It's over here, Mount Sinai, and it's Saudi Arabians try to prevent and keep people out of this area because of the rich history that is in that area. And Dan Kniff is the one who led me to study the Caldwells. But they came across here. This is where they crossed over the Red Sea. This is where the Egyptian army was pursuing them. And they crossed over and they settled in this area right around Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai. in this particular area, and then from Mount Sinai, they traveled northward to Kadesh Barnea. And from here, they were to launch into Israel. This is the southern, very southern tip of Israel. Here's the Dead Sea right here. And they were to advance into Israel from this direction. And at Kadesh Barnea is the turning point of what took place here in the provocation. Pastor Hunsley last week taught God is slow to anger. But eventually he does get angry. Remember, he was talking about Nineveh and how in Jonah's time, Jonah warned Nineveh. First, he didn't want to. He disobeyed God. God persuaded Jonah to go and warn Nineveh by giving him a taste of what Nineveh was going to be tasting for eternity. And they repented. The only so-called Gentile nation in all of Scripture and possibly all of world history that repented of their sin, and God staved off the judgment he was about to bring upon Nineveh. But about 150 years later, Nahum was again warning Nineveh of their sin against God, and this time there was no turning back, and God was going to bring judgment. But it did say in Naaman 1 verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. So God is slow in anger. He gives us plenty of rope. He gives us plenty of leeway to repent. Nobody, Sodom and Gomorrah, the people before the flood, all the judgments in the scriptures, the judgments that brought upon Israel, all the nations, the heathen nations, none of those people at the judgment can't say, well, God, you didn't warn us. God has sent ample warning. He was patient. 150 years for Nineveh, he was patient with them. And so God is patient, but he's slow to anger. The Lord commands Moses to send out 12 spies into the land of Canaan. So parking it there at Kadesh Barnea, we're going to be parking it pretty much in the book of Numbers. Turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. 13 and 14 is where we're going to be concentrating on for this lesson. And in Kadesh Barnea, the Lord tells Moses, now this wasn't Israel's idea to do this. Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Verse 3, and Moses, I'm in chapter 13 of the book of Numbers, in the New Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, okay? Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, then sent from the wilderness of Paran all those men were heads of the children of Israel. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. So Moses sends out a team of spies. Now, this area where Kadesh Barnea is at is called the Wilderness of Paran. Okay? P-A-R-A-N. Wilderness of Paran. And you see in verses 4 through 15, you see the tribes of Israel. You have in verse 4, the tribe of Reuben, the head, the leader, the head of that tribe was called Shammua. Simeon, the tribe of Simeon in verse 5. The tribe of Judah in verse 6. Issachar, Ephraim, Benjamin, Zebulun, Manasseh, Dan, Asher, all the way down to verse 14, Naphtali, and verse 15, Gad. Now what tribe, Here's a trivia question for you. Trivia question. What tribe is not called to send a spy out? What tribe? Levi. Why? Priestly tribe. Priestly tribe. They were the priestly tribe. Their head was Aaron. Aaron was their head. He was the high priest. So he was not to be called out. They were the priestly tribe. They were not going to, if you remember, the Levites don't inherit any land. They don't inherit any of the land. They inherit the responsibility of worshiping the Lord and being the priests that are responsible for the tabernacle and in the future temple that is built under Solomon. So, count all those tribes there. How many tribes are there? How many tribes? Reuben from verse 4 down to verse 15, Gad. How many tribes are there? Reuben, Simeon, Jude, Issachar, Ephraim, Benjamin, Zebulun, Manasseh, Dan, Asher, Naphtali, and Gad. 12. Now, another quiz question for you here. If we include the Levites, that would be 13 tribes. How is there 12 without the Levites being included? Can you give me that answer? Another trivia question for you. Okay, good. Manasseh. Manasseh and Ephraim are the sons of Joseph. Joseph received a double blessing, a double portion. Why? Because of what Joseph did in sparing the life of his brethren, the Egyptians and all the people in the earth in that time. God, his obedience to God and his failure, his lack of rebellion to God and murmuring against God and complaining against God and all the suffering that he went through. He had two sons in the land of Egypt, and they were Ephraim and Manasseh. And so Joseph is recognized twice through his sons, getting a double blessing of the inheritance because of their obedience. Now, you see Caleb. Which tribe is Joshua from? Joshua was a leader. How come he's not mentioned there? Or is he? Joshua has multiple names. I won't leave you hanging here. But Ephraim, Oshea is another name for Joshua. Okay? Or Joshua. Joshua. Also, look at this other name for Joshua in verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. Jehoshua. So Joshua has multiple names. Jehoshua means savior or deliverer. Verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, go get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few in many. Now keep your hand there for a minute. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 23. I want you to see something. Exodus chapter 23. And you're thinking, why is God sending out angels? I mean, why is God commanding Israel to send out spies? Verse 20, chapter 23, the book of Exodus. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Okay? The Lord is speaking here. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. The angel, that's a type of pre-incarnate Christ. Okay? that is speaking of Christ. Beware of him and obey his voice and provoke him. What? Oh, see that word there. What? Provoke him not. For he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But God is promising that he will be with them and bring them into the place of promise. Verse 22, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thy enemies and an adversary unto thy adversaries. Verse 23, for my angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites, the Jebusites and all the other parasites, and I will cut them off. Okay? All the ites, the parasites of the land. So, but why then is God having them to send out spies, and he say, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. Let's continue reading. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be good, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. We learned about that, the first fruits or vintage. The vintage, it was the time of the harvest of the grapes. The beginning, the harvest, the first fruits. But if God promises to bring them in and send an angel to deliver them and take them in, why does he need to have send out spies? Testing their faith. Testing their faith. Testing their obedience. Testing if they heard or not.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week in person and right here on Freedom 95.